Мейшона Нажоро.
Всак четвертик з ютрай разом заднього в місяці.
Важкі посипнажі.
Найбольші мецошульці.
П'яне невісте.
Антихерої.
Чорне овце.
Сліпі камермани.
Точні асисти.
Розігране нюне.
То са згоди, які пише жулєнє.
З великими чергами.
Тихо, Нико.
Гаоя.
Тихо, Нико.
Гаоя.
Тихо, Нико.
Danes v rubriki Mešano na žaru pogovor, ki ga je Tegla opravil s pevcem nemške zasedbe Deus Entet mesec dni nazaj v Zagrebu. Pred tem pa še pesem Final Warning zasedbe Deus Entet.
Welcome to Croatia. Is this your first time here?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're very excited. You know, we wanted to come here already some many years ago and try different attempts, but it never really worked out. So it's good to be, you know, here with supporting also, playing with Niall. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see much of the city at all, apart from the river, but that's it.
Was this also your first time that you played in Serbia when you played yesterday?
Well, since we didn't play, it was the first time we went to Serbia, yes. And then unfortunately, things went wrong locally yesterday. You know, we were there in time, everything was set up, but there was some technical logistical problems at the venue, and they ended up canceling the first three bands, so that only Melecesh and Nile played. So we were pretty bored yesterday and disappointed. You know, there were people there that had never seen the band and they waited many years. So that was a bit of a bummer, to be honest. Yeah.
On this tour, you also have a new guitarist. I mean, or additional or session guitarist. Let me ask you: are you a really tough guy to work with? Because you change the members a lot.
I would like to think I'm not a tough guy to work with. It was also not my decision. You know, the Martin who played with us in the last 2.5 years, who also wrote the last album with us, just decided to change his lifestyle. You know, he went back into a full-time job and quit the band. So that was as easy as I can explain it, you know. And he made it with a rather short notice, so that we had to look for a session member to play this tour. And Michael from Holy Moses was the one who luckily stepped up and decided to join us. So it's been actually very cool, because he's an old friend, very professional guy. You know, I mean, he has been touring in these areas a lot, so he knows some of the places, some of the clubs from Holy Moses, and it's going good so far. You know, I wish we would have keep the solid lineup, if you ask me, you know, but it's not my decision, you know. I cannot control how good the energy and the dedication is for the other guys.
And how do you usually work when you get a message that the guitarist is is quitting the band? Like, you get a message, then what happens inside the mind of Leif Jensen and the collective of the
To be honest, I was surprised a little bit. I didn't see that coming. I mean, there was a lot of tension in the band because we had a lot of output this last year. I mean, we recorded a new album, we released a new album, we played a lot of festivals, did like 2 or 3 tours, smaller ones. So it was a lot of activity, you know. And normally in my world, that is very challenging, and it's always very good to push me forwards with the creativity and with the musical ambition. For some other people, maybe it's too stressing, too much. I have no idea. When I heard about this situation, I was disappointed, because I thought we had a very good vibe going with the new guys. You know, everybody was motivated. The album Invocation came out really good, if you ask me, for the first time we worked together. So it was a bummer, you know. And we sat down and talked about what we could do, could not do from here onwards. And we just said, since we confirmed this tour a long time ago, we're just going to play it. And then we maybe sit down after a tour and discuss what to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the new album, right?
Yeah.
Besides the fact that it is the newest album, that it was recorded and released in 2010, and besides that it has a really, really, really powerful, massive sound, what would you say that it kind of differs it from the other Deusdedit albums?
Well, I think it is a lot fresher, you know. I think that in my personal opinion, Incinerate was not the strongest album with it. It's not a bad album. I mean, I like parts of it, like I do with every album when I look back, you know, and other parts I'm hoping that we can do better in the future. When I look at Incinerate, though, I feel that it was a little bit too simple and too extreme album. Sometimes it was borderline death metal, and I prefer this band to be more a thrash metal basic band. So I definitely, when we went through that huge lineup change where, you know, 3/5 of the band actually disappeared, we were sitting down and said, like, wow, this doesn't feel like the peak of the band, you know. This it, of course, it's a big hold up, you know, to go through lineup changes, but it depends. If you're in a good moment in your career, you just work with it and go forwards. If you're in a bad moment, maybe you say, fuck it, I'm splitting up, you know, this is it, I've had enough. We were in a situation where, like, this is not the right moment for any decision, you know? Like, so we just decided to look for new guys and continue. I think the Invocation album has a lot of good new elements from the new guys, also a higher musicianship level, because Michael, the one guitarist that we have that wrote most of the material, is a really, really good musician, probably the, you know, one of the best musicians we've ever had in the band in all the years. I don't know. I think the album has more diversity than before. We tried, you know, we worked like in the early days of the band. We did a pre-production demo. We entered the same studio where we recorded the album. We did a demo there, like with five songs of the album, just to work on the details, to see how we sound, see how the new guitar player sounds, see how the drummer sounds. So we invested a lot of time and work into the record. The other albums before were always like part of a routine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You tour, you write, you record, you tour, you write, record. And this one, it was different. We took a year off. We said, let's restructure the band, let's write strong songs, and let's then see what we can do with them. We never said we will make a new album. We said we will write songs, and if they're good enough, we will do an album.
Mm-hmm.
So I think hopefully that adds some new element to it, you know? I mean, yeah. It's in the end of the day, it's up to the listener. You know, I hope the listener can discover something more interesting in this album than in other albums.
Mm-hmm. And this album also marked the big change, kind of a bigger change, that you also changed the label. You went from Nuclear Blast to Metal Blade.
Yeah.
Was this just the events like of the contract ending?
No. It was a mixture of everything. You know, I think since the last album, since Incinerate wasn't, in our opinion, the best album possible, the label also didn't really push very strongly for it. I mean, I think we were released on the same day as the Dimmu Borgir album,
mm-hmm.
and we could feel that they were busy with other things.
Yeah, yeah.
We noticed it was less promotion, it was less push on the touring side as well. So I think, you know, the album ended up maybe not making a step forward for the label. Nuclear Blast is going more after bigger bands, more mainstream acts at the moment. So they decided to drop the ball,
mm-hmm.
and we just basically parted ways and were able to look for a new partner. And then we said, since we are changing lineups, since we're changing attitude for the band, maybe we should change the whole business structure.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing now is we are recording our own albums, prepaying everything ourselves, and then we're giving away licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Blade is our label of choice in Europe. We have Prosthetic Records in the US. We have a label in Japan, and it's all controlled by us. So we, you know, we basically give them ready parts, and they can release it.
Mm-hmm. Is it harder to do the job now, considering
yeah.
that you have to run the band and
yeah.
run this?
It is harder, but it's also, it makes you more aware of the individual steps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine with me, you know. I'm to be honest, you know, we have never really had a lot of third parties helping us. You know, most of the booking, most of the management, most of the contractual stuff, most of the artwork, we did always ourselves. So it's now we actually do it, and we know we're doing it instead of before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we own the music, which is you know, a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
The old albums are with Nuclear Blast until I die. The new one I borrowed to labels for a couple of years.
Cool. Hey, I must ask you, is there a different vibe to touring now, considering with all the economy going on, with all the euro, you know, and everything?
Well, the euro we got already used to. But I think there is... It is a more competitive market in the last years. I mean, you see that some bands are not selling albums so much as before, so they are touring more to, you know, pay their bills. We're not a professional musician band. You know, we all have jobs to fall back on when we go home. So we don't have the pressure that other bands have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't want to compare it for our set of things, but I see that it's getting tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that bands are, you know, touring more... touring more expensive, which I don't understand. You know, to me, it would be logical that things should drop in prices, but
mm-hmm.
This very tour we're doing right now, we basically saw as a big chance to finally do a run of dates in Eastern Europe, which we didn't do for a long time. I mean, some of these places, like today, is the first time we're playing in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going back to England and to Ireland for 1 week or 10 days,
mm-hmm.
which is really good because we haven't been there for 3 years. So that's the reason why we did this tour. We toured with Niall already in 2003 one time, so we knew the guys. We know it's, you know, it's a good fit because it's very different bands, but
mm-hmm.
in a way there is something that makes it work out. So that's why we decided to do the tour, you know, to present the new material in a couple of places where we haven't been before, like Romania, Bulgaria, we have never been to, Serbia,
mm-hmm.
which we went to but didn't play, today. And then we're also going to some other interesting cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that was the idea, basically, behind it. We don't have a need to go and tour other than the fact that we like playing live. You know, we don't need to do it to pay our bills, which is a great relief, you know.
Mm-hmm. I must ask this. Is this that you mentioned, the competition of bands, do you think this whole crisis stuff, the whole bands going through some expensive, some even stopping, do you think it's all now part of this survival of the fittest test? Like,
yeah, that's how the market regulates itself, you know. I mean, I think some bands will unfortunately go under that maybe don't deserve to go under, you know, that are really good bands that maybe don't get enough appreciation or enough chances. But in the long run, you know, it's the same old story. If a scene gets too crowded, then you know, parts of it starts not to work anymore. But the problem is right now that there is an economical crisis outside of the music business. You know, that it's tough for most of the countries with unemployment, with uncertainty about the future. And music is entertainment. You know, it's a luxury. So it's difficult to prioritize it above other things. I mean, if you have family, it's more important to take care of your family than to go to a show or to buy a CD. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You know, so it's just, you know, I think everybody needs to be more aware of what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Is it also now tougher knowing this, like a sort of Damocles being above your head, knowing that after you return from touring, there is a possibility that some of you guys won't have a job anymore, especially now with the market crumbling, unemployment?
Well, to be honest, if that was the case, then we would have not done the tour. Uh-huh. We are set up in a way that we know it's a full-time hobby, you know, like a lot of our spare time goes into the music, which makes it difficult for, I don't know, relationships, holidays, and other stuff, but that's fine. You know, we managed to find a way to combine the job that pays our bills and the music. So we go back to jobs, so it's not really a problem. I think at this point of the career with the band, I don't think I would sacrifice a job for a tour, because there's other tours, you know. I mean, there's we get a lot more offers than we can actually play, so that's a good situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I always also consider you a person who has your own view. You also have a lot of criticism in your lyrics and everything. How do you see the situation in Germany now? Because some present it as a really successful in a way in the midst of the crisis economically, but also some say that now all this not racism, but this kind of ignorance is rising, you know, towards the people who move there from other countries, towards the different religions, you know, kind of intolerance in a way. What's your point or opinion or your view on it?
That's a very difficult question. I mean, it's a very wide question. I think Germany went through the same crisis that all the countries went through this last year. I mean, Germany maybe was hit 1 or 2 years earlier. Everybody said that there was an up again in the last year. I didn't notice the up. I mean, it's a statistic, you know. Like, if your government tells you 0.02% on the way up, it doesn't mean anything for your personal life.
So, yeah.
What I see is that there is a weird situation where everybody is seeing different parts at different times going down. I mean, there is a European Union and community that is running our businesses. And if you see that a country like whatever Greece or Ireland or maybe Spain or Portugal are facing problems, it's problems for everybody, because as far as I am aware of, Germany is still one of the most supportive financially countries for all of the EU. So Germany, while it's also in a crisis, is paying for other countries as well. A lot of people see this as a development that is not healthy for Germany. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, because in the end of the day, if Germany was doing really bad, other countries would come up and help Germany as well. That's a European idea. I think that there is a lot of problems for a lot of countries that don't have the same mentality and the same structure, that are trying to make it work together for everybody, which is not easy. Mm-hmm. But this is an economical aspect. It's not really a political or religious aspect, or even nationality aspect. I don't think that this is so much a problem. But when you have an intense situation, all these other things appear. You know, like it becomes political. People start thinking about the fact that other religions are dangerous or stuff like that. I mean, to be honest, at this point, I don't know. I think it depends on how the new generation of working people will educate their kids and move into the next 5 to 10 years. I think this is all damage done from 10 or 20 years ago. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think we're still in a pretty good comfort zone in a way. You know, I when I was a kid, I was raised in South America. I grew up in Colombia, which is a very difficult place as well. You know, a lot of very rich people for whatever wrong reasons, a lot of very poor people, the majority of the population. And when I moved to Germany, I noticed that Germany is in a pretty good shape. You know, so I think it's always a matter of perspective. You know, I think that there is different ways of looking at it. In what sense did you mean the question?
I just meant, what's your like personal opinion? Do you feel like there is a tension rising between the people in Germany and all that you already explained?
In a social way?
In a social or even national?
Yeah, everybody, you know, whenever there is bad times, everybody gets very egoistic and very self-centered. So he thinks that if he's doing bad, then I mean, it's like when Eastern Western Germany united. You know, it's a very difficult process, you know, to bring two countries with different structures together and say we're one. A lot of people became unemployed from the eastern part of Germany because they all had proper you know, socialistic jobs before. So in the open market they became unemployed and they said, oh, there is some guys from Africa and from Turkey who have a job. They're not Germans. They're taking away my job because I don't have one. I mean, that's super simple, stupid thinking. But this is what humans do. You know, when they are in a problematic situation, they think simple. And sometimes thinking simple makes them do mistakes. So I think that people are being egoistic now again because they're worried. But I hope it's not going to be a long process. I mean, if the politicians are right, then we are on the way up again until the next country collapses. Yeah.
So do you think this will also invoke future fury in you, Santet, or certain energies that you will put into your music?
No, not really. To be honest, it's too big of a matter to really affect me in a way. I mean, it's when you come to think about it, it's pretty brutal and hopeless. So I try to be influenced by more personal things, you know, things that actually happen in my everyday life. The politics part is a small lyrical element of Deucented, but not really the main one.
Okay, can you also reveal some certain plans what Deucented will be doing after this tour?
No, because really we don't have many plans for the next rest of the year. We said we're going to do this tour, then we're going to sit down and assess the situation with the second guitar player. We're going to think about what we're going to do there. We have a handful of festivals that we're going to play, and then apart from that, we're just going to hopefully write new songs. We're not going to play a lot live. We are probably going to take a couple of months of a break so we can recharge batteries after the last year has been like nonstop. And then, yeah, hopefully we can. Our guitarist is already writing some songs for the last month, and we will sit down in the summer, maybe talk about them. It would be cool to do a new album.
Okay, Life, I would like to say thank you for taking your time.
You're welcome.
It was a real enjoyment. Can you say something like last words or a message for the Deucented fans out there?
Well, like I said to you before, it's a shame we didn't make it to Slovenia on this tour. I was speaking to somebody the other day who said, like, you should play Metal Camp. I mean, everybody always says, yeah, let's play Metal Camp. We played there 2007 the last time in this brutal heat. Like horrible show for us. I think horrible show for the people because most of them were looking for shadow under the trees. It would be cool to be able to do a normal show at Metal Camp because the one time we almost drowned in rain, the other time we burnt in the sun. Yeah, and the last time we played in Slovenia was at Orto Club in 2008. So I think it would be cool to be able to return maybe next year. Where we're talking, since this shit happened yesterday in Serbia, we're thinking about maybe doing a mini tour ourselves if we find the right people to organize it. And then it would be cool to come back to Slovenia. Other than that, yeah, thanks for your time.
tokratni ediciji rubrike Mešano na žaru ste poslušali pogovor z Leifom Jensenom, pevcem zasedbe Death Sentet. Pogovarjal se je Tegla.
Mešano na žaru!
Vsak četrtek zjutraj, razen zadnjega v meseci.
Vaški posebne že.
Najboljši med sošulci.
Ja, ne veste.
Antiheruji.
Črne ovce.
Slijepi kamermani.
Točni, pasisti.
Razigrane nune.
To so zgodbe, ki jih piše življenje.
Z velikimi črkami.
Niko, niko.
Kao ja.
Niko, niko.
Kao ja.
Niko, niko.
Kao!